let's continue to get some perspective as far as Middle East is concerned. We welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, Asaf Romorowski is the Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East, trained as a Middle East historian, actually holds a PhD in Middle East and Mediterranean Studies from King's College out in London. As we welcome back in Asaf, tough times, Asaf, over the weekend with events. Give me an assessment as far as everything that occurred, my friend, as far as Iran strike against the Jewish state. Go ahead.
Well, thank you again for having me, as always. Indeed, it was a very busy weekend. Positively, I mean, we did see a positive retaliation of a joint effort by, you had the Israelis, the Jordanians, the American, and the British retaliating, again, proving that the normalization and ties with the Arab world work. When they do work, they work well. And to contrast this to what would happen in 1991, you didn't have that kind of environment. So this is a very unique sense of retaliation. The bigger issue, which of course is the fact that this is the first time that Iran, you know, is attacking Israeli territory. The Israelis are prepared for this. 99% of the drones were taken out, but they were throwing everything at the Israelis. It was surface missiles, ballistic missiles. They were trying to penetrate in every possible way, shape, or form. Iran, as you know, is the it has the bloodprints, the footprints, and is responsible for the events of October 7th. The groups on the ground are indeed the Iranian axis, ranging from the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas. But this definitely accelerates and elevates one step further, proving, if anybody need any further proof, that Iran is behind all this. Iran is a threat, an existential threat, to the region at large, and they are a threat not only to Israel and Jewish community, but also to the United States. And I think that we have an obligation all around, morally and beyond that, to support our ally in the region. I found Biden's comment as "don't," with quoting when it came out of the White House vis-a-vis retaliatory aspects regarding Iran, to be problematic at best. I mean, I think it's disgraceful. We need to be much more vigilant about this, given the fact that the Israelis have argued correctly for the past 20-plus years that there needs to be a military option on the table. And here you have the proof when Iran attacks the state of Israel.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. Asaf, you know, I have stated many a time regarding the bad deal that the United States went into with Iran. I mean, you go back to the days of the Obama administration and the nuclear deal and everything else, the billions of dollars handed over. Yeah, there's some sanctions that have taken place since, but not enough. They've run out. But we have never strangulated that whole situation with Iran from an economic standpoint and their oil production. That's how you hit them a little bit here. But they have been going on as freely as they've wanted to. And in essence, we have allowed this to happen, going back to the days of nine or so years ago, to be ripped up by Donald Trump and only be put into play again by this administration currently. But that has given Iran new life in the region.
100%. Not only that, we just recently released, sanctions in the tone of $10 billion. So the question is now, as a result of the attack that happened over the weekend, is the U.S. going to stop this? I mean, Iran is in cahoots with the Chinese, the Russians, all the threats that represent to the United States. You know, and where is our strong deterrence, not only, you know, militarily, but also economically, and the way Iran has been acting is a non-trustworthy actor. And the idea that we have been engaged in what I would consider to be appeasement towards the Iranians, given the larger threat that they represent, I think is disgraceful. I mean, I think it shows, it gives the impression of a weak America. It gives the impression that we are not willing to engage in our with our enemies. This is the test here. The fact that you have literally had attacks on the state of Israel. The United States, originally, we sent positively cruisers to the region to deter the Iranians, namely Hezbollah, which is a proxy of Iran, into when the war began, in order to deter Hezbollah and Iran from attacking. Clearly, that did not work. They are testing the waters. The Iranians have been testing the waters all along. We've been seeing it with other drone attacks on U.S. vessels. When U.S. servicemen are being killed, our retaliation time is not quick enough. We have to be decisive, we have to be strong, and we have to show that we mean business. And that also means economically, and it also means militarily. And, you know, just this week, there was supposed to be, in the next coming weeks, actually, the foreign minister of Iran is supposed to be coming to the United Nations. So we're going to give this individual a visa. Also very problematic. There has to be a very clear message, especially to our allies in the region, about where we stand on these very, very issues that could create a huge amount of turmoil. And that is Iran. Iran is the largest destabilizing force in the region from a nuclear standpoint and from an economic standpoint, given who their allies are.
No doubt about it. Asaf Romanowski with us, Middle East historian. So, Asaf, where are we at right now? The launching of these 300 cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, drones, all hitting Israel, marking the first direct attack from Iranian territory. Thankfully, with the military help of the U.S., part of a multinational effort, the neutralizing of 99% of those incoming threats of missiles and whatnot and drones. However, and there's a big one here, it is quite evident that the president's weak diplomatic approach has only emboldened Iran. You know, the reversal of Trump's maximum pressure campaign in Iran, the expiration, as we mentioned, of critical international sanctions less than, what, 6 months ago, have empowered them to launch this unprecedented attack. And furthermore, Asaf, and comment on this. You have Joe Biden's handset withdrawing support of their response to Hamas, and pressures from his party to cease fire have weakened deterrence here. So when Joe Biden makes a statement that he will not participate in any counteroffensive attack here by Israel towards Iran, what does that say?
Bad message all around. I mean, you know this as well as I do. I mean, we've been fighting the Islamic Republic of Iran since 1979. 1979 as the beginning, you know, it's the root cause of, you know, under the larger rubric of America's war on terror, all stems from Iran. This is not new. This has only grown and metastasized and has grown, by leaps and bounds.
Right.
And the fact that the United States, we have the capability to take care of business. We have a strong military. They need the effort. We need to show deterrence. The policy that has been, a follow-up to the Obama foreign policy, this engagement in what I would consider to be foreign policy isolationism, is bad. It's bad. It's a bad image all around. And the idea of the naive perception that we are secure in our own borders and Iran will not come here is absolutely wrong. We have the capability. We should go take the war to where it's at. We need to make sure the Iranian sanctions, we need to suffocate them. They are a crumbling regime, but they need to be taken down. They can be taken down. But it has to be done in the way, you know, they have to see the consequences. And every time the waters are tested, it's very clear. And the Iranian viewpoint, you know, Israel is the small Satan and the United States is the large Satan. The attack on Israel was also clearly a signal to see whether or not the U.S. is actually serious and has any kind of consequences behind their words that they're going to stand ironclad behind Israel when you have a direct attack on Israel, on Israeli territory, which has never happened before. In 1991, during the Gulf War, The United States told Israel to stand down, and they would protect the Israelis. And, you know, that at the time there was pressure, very different environment than it was today. Here you are seeing a coalition, as you mentioned before, a multi-coalition between that included the Jordanians, the U.S., the British. It was a significant move to show that normalization in the region works. And when you talk about the kind of the Arab states, when you have a country like Jordan, who is, you know, they have their disagreements with the state of Israel, but they understand the threats, you know, when it comes to what Iran represents, I think that's very telling. And so the actors in the region are behaving properly and accordingly. They understand the threats. That message needs to trickle down to Washington. And so if we see ourselves involved in the Middle East, which we've been involved from the get-go, we need to stand by our allies and not to be consumed by electoral politics that the progressive flank is putting pressure on the White House and on Biden to say, you know, we need to have ceasefires and to try to separate this. We can engage with the Iranians. That's foolish, and it shows us to be weak. And this is not the time to be weak. The Iranian proxies are on the ground. Furthermore, this is the same administration that for some reason decided to take away the designation of the Houthis as a terrorist organization. You have the Houthis, you have Hezbollah, you have Hamas. These are all axis of Iran. Iran is behind all of this. So us standing by and not doing much is the wrong path.
And not only that, we're talking with Asa Romorowski. Asa, not only that, but it does not help the situation when you have the House on Capitol Hill passing a $14 billion plus Israel-only bill. This was back in November. And sadly, it was never taken up in the Democratic-led Senate. 3 months later, the Senate passing a $95 billion plus package that included, among other provisions, you know, $60, give or take, billion for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel. You know, this week you got the House and Senate. They had to resolve some of these differences in these two bills and get Israel, which is our greatest ally. And let's not forget that. I think somebody needs to message Joe Biden that. You know, in between eating his ice cream cones and riding his bicycles in Delaware, I think that somebody should send a message to him that Israel is our greatest ally and it needs support. I think we've lost sight of that.
100%. I think that we need to wake up, and I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the reactions now on Capitol Hill as a result of the attack on Israel. I mean, you know, everybody, the Israelis have been consistent saying Iran, Iran, Iran. Here you have the proof. Iran is a massive hydra that has tentacles all over the place, and they're exercising them, and they're utilizing them conventionally and non-conventionally. And now is not the time to waffle on a positive response. We need to stand by our allies in the region. We need to stand by Israel in the region. And so what will be interesting to follow up in the next few days is to see how this latest attack trickles down into the Hamas war, and see how that plays out. The fact that the Israelis were able to quash the attack was, of course, shows they're able and capable of doing that. That was a blow to the Iranians. But, of course, Hamas was waiting for this. They were cheering. They were celebrating. You also had footage over the weekend of celebrations in Iran when you saw projectiles flying over the old city in Jerusalem. I mean, when the Iranian people are watching this, as well as Gazans, they're cheering for this. Bad messaging. We need to show that we are strong, we are resilient, and there has to be a decisive action here in order to make sure that the Iranians know where we stand, where we stand by, and what we're going to do when we are attacked. And this was a direct attack on an ally of the United States, which is a direct attack on us. And we need to stay. Because if that kind of action happened, if New Jersey attacked Pennsylvania, or in a different constellation, if Cuba decided to attack the United States, we would not hesitate for a second. We should be acting in the same positive, decisive way now as well.
Talking with Asaph Romanowski, a couple of minutes left regarding the intensity of what's going on in the Middle East right now. So as Bibi Netanyahu and his cabinet members decipher all that's going on from yesterday and today, what's the next step here? Well, when does Israel act? And I should say accordingly, do they hit the nuclear capabilities of housing as far as Iran and all what's going on there, which I think is a must. That's how you really hit them. But at what juncture, in your estimation, Asaph, does this retaliation happen?
I think that the Israelis have been using a policy, which is what, you know, the rouge for this attack was, that one of the Iranian generals in charge in Syria was taken out during the last Israeli attack, when Israel attacked the facility, which was basically an Iranian embassy in the region. I think that they're looking probably at this point at potential targets, strategic targets, targets that make sense and send a message. The other part, I think, beyond coming to a clear military plan, which has always been on the table, I think there's going to be difficult conversations between Jerusalem and Washington, to say the least. Washington clearly has given a message to the Israelis that they are not looking to escalate the situation. Actually, as you and I have spoken about in the past few weeks, they've been trying to downgrade a lot of the escalation, trying to pressure the Israelis to, as you saw, remove some of their divisions, wait on the next military campaign when it comes to Rafah. The Israelis will go into Rafah. But this is a whole other game changer, in the sense where you have a state-sponsored terrorism who has actively been engaged and is responsible for many of the events that happened on October 7th. And then, by the way, not only Iran, it's also Turkey, it's also Lebanon, it's the Qataris, it's Malaysia. I mean, there's a series of countries who have been complacent with and responsible for the events of October 7th. And we need to show that we are standing by, and we need to, you know, take these targets very seriously. I think that the Israelis have a plan. I think the question is going to be is whether or not, at what point is Netanyahu going to say, I'm going to attack with or without the blessing of the United States when you are, you know, when we were attacked on our soil. And I think that that's really going to be a lot of the push and pull. Ideally, I'm sure that the politics and the political figureheads are going to try to figure out what is going to work well diplomatically that they can digest. Clearly, the internal electoral factors seem to be on the front burner rather than on the back burner when it comes to military campaigns. And I think that that's going to be a real sticking point. The Israelis have their own national interests, and they have been fighting a war on several fronts, north, south, and now from outside. And that has always been the concern. And they will not, they cannot sit by as a sitting duck. And that's the message that they're going to have to be forcefully pushing towards Washington and the people, and to Biden and his advisors.
You know, Asaph, in closing, I'll say this. You know, I can only hope, as I look at the calendar, in the fact that we are, 7 months out of an election, that we can maybe get by this very volatile period right now in our history. I don't know if we're going to be so lucky with having such a weakness of leadership in play. And the fact that he is somewhat sleepwalking here, Joe Biden is. And who knows, as far as the catastrophic nature of all what could become here. I don't even want to think about the escalation and everything else that could coincide and even permeate through other parts of the world. I don't even want to think about that yet. But man, I'll tell you, I don't think my thinking is gonna get us into that spot where we need to. Unfortunately,
unfortunately,
I think Joe Biden right now has a lot of pondering to do, as far as not trying to politicize this situation, which he is doing right now, and based on that, he could have some catastrophic results, Asaph. So I'll give you the final thought for you there.
I don't disagree. I mean, I think that putting aside electoral politics, America should get out of this isolationist mindset. The enemy is here. The enemy is attacking our allies. And we are not immune to the tentacles of the Islamic Republic of Iran. As I said earlier on, we've been fighting Iran since 1979. They are taking it to the next level. And we should not taking it sitting down. We need to make very clear and decisive message of what we can do. We need to bolster our military. We need to bolster our actions, and we need to take action now. We're already behind the eight ball, and this engagement with appeasement is a wrong policy. For starters, we need to really freeze once again those recently released sanctions money of $10 billion. We need to suffocate them economically speaking, and we need to also deal with the military consequences of this attack.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Very, very intense times right now, folks, in a dire period of history here. And that's why every decision is an important one for the sake of everybody, not only in the Middle East, but the rest of the world. As we await Asaph Romorowski, the Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East. Asaph, I know you'll be monitoring, and I look forward to the next time we have you on.
Thank you so much. Thank you.